Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
You'll be proud of this game, and you can do a great deal for football today. Great deal for all the players and the league and everything else.
Oh, I see him looking. I'm closing.
I was born in it. Molded by it.
Yeah, so they got to wake up with a piss out.
I'm talking about Rasul.
Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. You're listening to Poor Man's Packers Podcast. Go Pack, go.
Tonight, man, I'm so excited. Let's roll.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Todd. Todd?
Hello.
Hello. Just Todd this week. Andrew's busy.
Just Todd. Well, we're not super disappointed. It's just me, right? I mean, it's
yeah, no.
Like but, a little. Okay.
I mean, okay. I like having a third voice sometimes. Okay. Maybe not so much if it's Andrew, sure. But Andrew was unfortunately busy. Yes.
We could use it one of my other personalities.
Yes. Well, this is the only one because you're Todd. Okay. You know, we all know that. Coming off Memorial Day weekend, you know, there was some fun Packers news with that. Todd, did you have a good Memorial Day weekend?
I did. Got some stuff done around the house, went to the beach. That's about it. It was good though. Yeah, got some sun.
Very cool. Did you see the shenanigans that the young Packers squad got into?
I did. You know, and I would like to see the statistics on this. Football players and boats, they do not go together. I can think of two specific events, one in Minnesota, one in New York.
Nah, yes.
Boats aren't good for football players. So I just want to throw that out there. I'm a little worried.
Yes, that's a good point. And for those who didn't see, I believe it was like Christian Watson, AJ Dillon, the new safety we signed, and Jordan Love were at, what is it? It's not Cook County. Door County, where AJ Dillon loves, and they were drinking on a boat, and Watson raced Simone Biles, and Watson was in a hammock, and Jordan Love and A.J. Dillon took like a selfie with him. Looked like he might have been passed out. It could have been bullying, some are saying. They were making fun of a young player for not being able to hold their alcohol.
Is hazing back?
Is finally, yeah, we got rid of that cancer Aaron Rodgers, and now Jordan Love immediately is hazing his number one receiver.
Now that's a leader.
Yeah, bring him right to the fire. But, yeah, we're recording, what is this today, Wednesday, so we did have another OTA practice today, but more importantly, the Aaron Rodgers, Matt Schneidman article dropped, so We'll talk about that. I know a lot of people are kind of sick of the Rodgers shit, but we are in the offseason, so we'll go through that, and you can look at the episode notes if you want to skip ahead, but we'll talk about that Rodgers shit, the OTAs, this whole rebuild versus reload for the Packers team, you know, this narrative, once again, David Bakhtiari saying rebuild, Aaron Jones potentially being offended by people calling this team, you know, that they're in a rebuild right now, preseason stuff, the practices that are upcoming, and, you know, it's been a couple of weeks since we've had an episode, so we'll have to talk about how in 2025, the Packers will be hosting the NFL draft, which should be pretty cool, pretty interesting, a lot of things going on with that, but starting things off, again, we have to talk about it. You know, he's always the number one story for the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, even though he's with the Jets. But Matt Schneidman put out a piece today on The Athletic talking about, you know, the Packers moving on from Aaron Rodgers. Very surprisingly, Goody and Aaron went on record for this. Like, not very often. Like, even that piece a few years ago from Ty Doon when the McCarthy-Rodgers stuff happened, like, no one was really on record for that one.
Yeah.
Matt had
that one was more of like, that was like a hit piece though.
Yeah, that's storytelling. It's Ty Doon who fucking makes everything into story. Remember last offseason how Za'Darius Smith? He signed with the Vikings so that he could play the Packers twice a year. Well, when he said twice a year, he meant twice this year, and that would be it. Fucking everything's a story, just a made up story for him. But and shout out to Matt Schneidman too. And people have said this before, I'm very thankful and grateful that we have the beat that we do, especially Matt, a younger guy who came on in 2019. I feel like some of these younger guys, you might get a little more clickbaity with their articles and the way they cover the team, and Matt doesn't do that. I thought he did a very good job of covering both sides of a very difficult situation here, and obviously didn't want to piss off either Rodgers or Goody, the current GM of the Packers, but getting into it, a couple tidbits. First thing, you know, and these are just things I kind of found interesting and kind of feed into other things we've talked about throughout the offseason and the last several off seasons. One of the first things, when the Packers drafted Jordan Love, they basically told Rodgers that this was a GM decision, not a Matt LaFleur decision. Rodgers had a quote that he said, well, you know, they all signed off on it, but that was very interesting how even that early on they were trying to, you know, control the narrative and not get him pissed off at Matt. Rodgers said that when the draft pick happened, he basically assumed he'd be with the Packers for one or two more years. Obviously played for the 3 years after that, so something there too. This piece a little bit bigger than the previous one. Rodgers basically confirmed that he told David Dunn, his agent, to tell the Packers the season after the Packers drafted Love, you know, right before the draft in 2021. Apparently this was in February where he made this request, but he told his agent to tell Mark Murphy to either trade him or fire Brian Gutekunst, which is pretty hilarious. And one, hilarious that he did it. Pretty terrible. Not a good thing when your quarterback is asking for the guy who was in charge of the team to get fired. But it's also crazy that he did it and he stuck around for two more years after asking for the GM to get fired, which is...
And got a contract.
And got a contract from that guy, which is... I can't wait for 20 years down the line to hear what actually happened, because if I had a bet, I would assume Mark Murphy really pushed for that contract. But, you know, I don't know.
Sure.
We don't know that. But back to that. Like I said, Rodgers basically confirmed when Schneidman brought up that, you know, he was asking for Goody to be fired. Rodgers replied and said, talk to David Dunn, which pretty much confirmed that that he did request it. A lot of people got on Rodgers saying that he's lying because he had previously denied that he asked Goody to get fired. I couldn't find, and maybe it did happen, maybe Rodgers did deny it. I couldn't find Rodgers denying it anywhere. What I did find, though, was Goody denying that Rodgers asked for Goody to be fired. And it's, once again, I mince words a lot on here, and it might be annoying. You know, maybe I am looking into things a little bit too much at times. But again, David Dunn is the one who put in the request. This was Goody's quote after the draft in 2021 when asked if Rodgers had asked for him to be fired. this is what Goody said. Aaron hasn't said anything like that to me and certainly hasn't said anything publicly. I think that's a little unfair to put that on him. Certainly don't like to hear those things, but no, nothing's been communicated directly to me, which is such a coach speak.
Nothing has been communicated directly to me.
So now 2 years later, we're looking at that. It's like, oh, it's because his agent was the one who said it, not Aaron.
They left me a voicemail, but they didn't talk to me directly. So right. Therefore, so I'm not lying.
And it's once again an example of why it's like, you know, and like Rodgers, when he said he was immunized, it's like you really have to pick apart these little things that these guys say.
It's when it feels, when you listen, does it feel weird? Okay, if it feels weird, you might be onto something too. Like the immunized comments, like, well, I mean, feels a little disingenuous, but anyway, we shouldn't get into that. That's a whole different.
Everyone loves that stuff too. Yes. Yeah. But, and then it reminds me as well. And I remember this at the time because I listened to Wilde and Tausch here and there, and going into that draft that month, like a week before the draft, because Wilde knew something was up, and Wilde in the presser before the draft asked Goody, Hey Goody, you know, I'm not trying to start something, blah, 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 but what's the relationship like right now between you and Rodgers, like blah, blah, blah. I forgot exactly how he framed it. And sure. Goody was like, I don't know what you're talking about. When literally a month earlier, Rodgers asked for him to get fired.
It wasn't communicated with Goot directly.
Right.
So
right.
How do you don't know.
But it's once again, it's the things like that where it's tough for me to trust Goody. And the things he says does not match the things, you know, his actions. And even he's a GM, so it's tough to admit when he's wrong. But I still remember when Bill Huber brought up Hunter Bradley's struggles as a long snapper. And Goody was like, oh, he snapped well for us. And then Bill like brought up, well, no, he had like a few off target snaps like during practice and stuff. And then literally a week later, they signed a new long snapper who eventually snapped in the playoff game who couldn't block. And, you know, we had the punt blocked and all that. So it's like all these little things where it's like these egos at play. Rodgers, you know, he's a jerk, huge ego. But it's like Brian's got quite the ego on him as well. And then Matt is just the nice guy trying to just win football games and keep the band together. So it's interesting to see this all play out. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's also like, I mean, is there a possibility that Goot didn't actually know? Is it possible? Is it possible Dunn didn't actually put in the request? I don't know. You never know what's actually going on. I don't know. But I do agree with you. There's a lot of egos in the room, but it kind of feels like to me, it's like we're all in middle school and like two of your friends are fighting and you're Matt in the middle and you're like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, I hate this person. And then, okay, well, actually we're still going to be friends. I'll come over to your house. That's the, you know, 2 year contract extension. And then we do hate each other.
Yeah. Well, you're right. Cause it is just like kids are like a messy breakup, stupid. Like we're literally getting into the nitty gritty on FaceTiming. And the type of phone coverage that Rodgers has at his house. And we talked about it a little bit before too, but it's like one of the initial reasons why we moved on from Aaron Rodgers that Goody gave publicly was he couldn't get in contact with him. And again, you're moving on from a Hall of Fame quarterback because you can't contact him. It's like, he does have an agent. You could reach out to the agent and be like, hey, I'm trying to talk to Aaron. You're not just going to be like, ah, shucks, I guess it's Jordan Love's team now.
Shoot, got to trade him.
Yeah, so.
Missed my FaceTime call. Got to trade him.
We're moving on. Something else I found interesting, someone who I've brought up a few times, and I guess now I have to be a little nicer to, is Russ Ball. I was wondering how much of, you know, behind the scenes with Rodgers' contract and stuff, you know, he's still on the same level as Matt LaFleur as far as the power structure goes with this team. But Rodgers talking about how, you know, when he came back, he was asking for more communication, this, that, and the other thing. Rodgers said this about Russ Ball. Russ definitely made an effort to be more seen, to be a better communicator, to be around, to interact with guys more. And I appreciated his effort to grow and to listen to some of the things I was saying and try to make the culture and the place a better environment. I thought Russ, more than anyone, really showed that he cared and showed a lot of personal growth, and I give him credit. And one, it's interesting to hear that. One, weird that it's the cap guy we're hearing about, but like I said, he's a very powerful guy within the organization. Two, it did remind me of the whole thing back in 2018 when we were trying to figure out who the next GM was going to be. Obviously, Russ Ball was one of them, but the other in-house actual scouts that were, you know, top of the list were Goody, who obviously got the job, and Elliot Wolf. And something that Wilde has said in the past is it was interesting to see the way the two guys interacted differently with the team. Goody was very prototypical scout, you know, that was his upbringing. Elliot Wolf, Ron Wolf's son, who kind of the same deal, you know, scout worked within the organization. But Elliot and Rogers were tight. And Elliot was seen in the locker room a lot interacting with guys. Goody has never been that person.
Right.
So it makes a little bit more sense with the way that he's gone about making the team. And it does make me wonder what kind of universe we'd be living in if Elliot Wolf had gotten the reins. Now, it's not like he's had any success, really, since moving on from the Packers. I believe he's some little guy with the Patriots now. But either way, interesting.
I have a thought just on, like, it's the way Rodgers seems to, like, he wants certain things out of, like, certain – does it seem like to you, like, okay, so, like, when it comes to coaches, it's – I think – here's my opinion is that he doesn't like the leadership style from LaFleur.
I agree
probably with some of – if he were to, you know, make that statement, I would agree with that to some extent. That's not my personal thing.
Yep.
But, like, then you talk about Goots, like – when I think of Goot, just from like the outside looking in, it's like he's very much just like, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to make the decisions that I think are best for the team. And I don't act like it doesn't matter to me, like what the people in the organization think. I'm here to do this job. I'm going to do the job. Right. Like it seems very much like that is his response. Okay. But he wants the reverse is what it feels like. He wants a coach who is stern and tough, but then he wants a GM that is like, oh, come down and like, let's communicate. And it's just like, it's interesting to me how flip-flopped those, like in his mind, like just going off things he said, because who's the special teams coach that he loves so
Rich
much?
Rich Bisaccia.
He loves Rich Bisaccia, who's kind of a hard ass, right? Like,
yep.
And is a tough leader, right? Yep. Like, it's just interesting to me. I don't know Rich Bisaccia. I don't know any of the guys in the front office, but it just seems to me like from the outside looking in, it's just like, why does it matter? I don't know. Like
that's
you like the tough love on one side, but you don't like it on the other. So I'm just interested, like if the roles were reversed, but maybe, I don't know.
That's a very good point. I have never thought of it that way. I think he just respects, you know, the real, I think he thinks he knows so much about football. And yeah. I do agree. He's like I've said before, he always says how smart Matt is, but like you said, I don't think he likes the way that he leads. And it's just he's too much of wishy-washy. And
just
yeah,
tell you what you want to hear, maybe.
Yeah.
Just this kind of the vibe that I get. We're like, and he obviously, I mean, he's a Mike McCarthy guy. He came up under Mike McCarthy, learned from Mike McCarthy, who's a Pittsburgh dude, like probably just a bit of a hard ass. Like,
yes, even so when he's probably wrong most of the time and he's not very smart, you know, unfortunately.
But I mean, that's the thing though, is like a lot of guys really love Mike. And so it's interesting that he wants that. But then out of his GM, then he wants you to, oh, well, be nice to me. And
it's almost like he's picking and choosing what he wants to value. But
yeah, that's why I feel like if you like tough love, don't you just like tough love? Or if you want a friendly, like a player's coach, you want a player's GM, player's coach, like you want a friendly environment. I don't know. Something that's weird to me. I don't understand
the
back and forth.
It's fair. Like I said, that's a very good point. But I guess when you just focus on it, I do think it's just, you know, when you look at LaFleur, and I don't know if Goody's trying to, you know, have him play guys at certain positions or start them and stuff, but we clearly held on to Amari Rodgers too long and played him way too long. That's a coach thing. You know, Newsome at the beginning. Newsome,
is it a coach
Newman.
Thing holding on to it? That's a GM thing.
Well, I'm saying, like, you didn't have to run him out there as the punt returner for as long as you did.
It's true. Yes, that's a coach thing.
Royce Newman and Jake Hansen at the beginning of the year, you didn't have to do that shit. You should have played Devonta Wyatt more than Dean Lowry. Like, there are those things. But then there's also, and this is something I've been thinking about too much, and I'll get on this on a different podcast and go deeper with it. But I do wonder how Brian is attempting to build this team. Because one thing that we know about Matt LaFleur and the build he wants for receivers are big, fast, strong receivers, right? Like, he likes them to be willing blockers, yep. pretty much everyone that we've had. And we said, you know, Jaden Reed was the shortest one of the, or not Jaden Reed. Yeah, Jaden Reed was like the shortest, the third shortest guy we've drafted at wide receiver since the year 2000. Well, the next wide receiver that we drafted under the LaFleur era is Amari Rodgers, which is clearly not a guy that Matt LaFleur would want. So it doesn't seem that the organization is working as well together. And there's several examples, but that's just one of them. You know, there's the Miami defensive tackle who was on the roster all year, didn't suit up once. You know, so there's obviously some disagreement going on with the roster build and the team that suits up every Sunday, which once again, back to, I've always got to bring it back to Mark Murphy fucking up the power structure and trying to bring communication together when clearly, especially after today too, and seeing this article, it is not better and it is probably worse than it was in 2018.
The only thing I would just say to that is, like, it could be better in certain cases, like LaFleur and Goot could be communicating fine. I think Rodgers is kind of the anomaly in a lot of these situations. Like, I don't think it's, I don't know. His and Goot's relationship has obviously not been good, and I think he's maybe gone out of his way to make it a problem, as Goot has too. Like, they're both in the wrong in this situation. It feels like when you have something like this, neither of them are right in all causes or in all cases, and neither of them are wrong. It's like they're both making this worse. Like, they're not trying to make it better. That's how it feels to me. But 100%. I don't know. Like, it's, I think it could be okay, right? Like, I think Matt probably realizes, like, hey, I can't have all big.
Well, yes,
blocking.
I'm just, you know what I mean? I'm just, like, giving one example. There isn't that synergy that we assumed would happen when, you know, after the 2019 season and everything looked great. You know,
well, yeah. And like Matt said, when you're winning, everything's great when you're winning. Mm-hmm. It masks, what was this quote? It masks a lot of things or something like that.
Yes.
So
and that's another thing too. What that presser after they traded Rodgers, you know, and Wilde asked him, you know, you said when you have a good quarterback, you know, sometimes you just put up with a lot of things because you're winning or whatever, or that because you have a great quarterback. And he's like, well, what changed? And he was like, well, we went 8-9 last year. It's like, okay, we went 8-9, so you had to move on from whatever. It's like, literally, you have to win 13 games, win MVP, or you're going to get traded. You know, you miss the playoffs, you're not good enough. We got to go on to Jordan Love. Anyways, another interesting thing from this article, and this was kind of talked about last week, another former Packer, Davante Adams. Rodgers brought this up in the article as well, obviously, but the way Davante left. Basically, what was confirmed here, and I believe Davante said this on the podcast last week, the I Am Athlete podcast, the summer of 21, during training camp, you know, Adams and the Packers were negotiating. Adams publicly said this several times that he wanted to be the highest paid receiver and then in the NFL, and he clearly was at the time the best receiver at the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
However, at the time, DeAndre Hopkins had, as being the top paid, was getting $27 million per, because he got a fucky contract when he got traded to the Cardinals.
Yep.
I believe most of the other receivers at the time were closer to like $20 million per year or $22 million. The Packers' original offer was $18 million, which I don't believe would have even been enough for the franchise tag at the time. I think that would have made Davante like the sixth or seventh highest paid receiver in the league. But either way, especially, I mean, we see it with Rodgers every time he would get a contract. Mm-hmm. Or David Bakhtiari, you reset the market, and the Packers didn't even come close to it. So after that, Davante was like, all right, I'm done. We're not going to negotiate anymore. They go through the whole season. He's pissed off. They put the franchise tag on him. He's still pissed off. And they're like, you know what? Just trade me. He says the Raider thing, blah, blah, blah. But either way, Aaron Rodgers brought that up, said that they offered him a Christian Kirk contract, which he caught some strays there, unfortunately. That wasn't until the next offseason. So once again, this is Rodgers playing with the narrative a bit here. Yep. But either way, I hate, and you know, this time last year it was all, you know, Davante wanted to play with Carr, his buddy, and he wanted to be on the West Coast, which definitely was true. But obviously going through that entire process and telling his family, hey, I'm going out west, the Packers didn't come up, and Davante did confirm this last year, The Packers, which I guess they kind of have been the last three years.
They have been.
They didn't come up on their offer to match or even overtake what the Raiders were going to pay him until the very end, so that they could control the narrative again and say, oh, well, we offered him this. So a little interesting there. But
yeah, it's very Packers-esque to be, hey, you know, Jordy, you want a bunch of money. Here's, you know, a little above vet minimum. Like, it's like very Packers to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's like not surprising, but I would say it is interesting the way that they're just trying to control the narrative and be like, oh, well, we did offer this much, but it's like after the fact almost. I don't know. It's interesting that it's a different strategy than it was before, because before it was just basically like, see ya.
Like, well, yeah,
here's your $18 million, take it or leave it. And it's like, well, I'm going to leave it because I should be the highest paid. It's like, okay. And they just don't care. Like, I don't necessarily think, I don't know if this is a bad take maybe, but like, I don't think it's necessarily bad to move on from Davante Adams. Like, I don't think that was a bad move. I don't think you pay a wide receiver that much money and it's going to escalate you to the next level. Right? Like, I get it. It put us in a really bad spot. It kind of burned through Rodgers last year. Mm-hmm. Not great. Like, I'm not like, that situation wasn't good, but mm-hmm. like, I bet if you went and looked back at like at wide receivers, like high, let's say highest paid wide receivers in the league, like how many times do they win the Super Bowl? I don't think if you invest a ton of money in one position that doesn't see the ball all the time. I just I'm not against the idea of getting rid of Davante. I don't think that was a bad decision. More so the issue would be with trying to make it look like you tried when you didn't actually try. I guess that's the issue.
Yes, it is. It's interesting to touch on that last part there that you're talking about. Yeah. I mean, it's imagine your whole life, you know, your life is focused on like your job right there and your contract. And for an entire year, the Packers were like, no, we're not paying you that. No, we're not paying you that. And then at the last second, they're like, ah, JK, we'll pay you that. It's like, no, fuck you. I don't want to
be gone so fast.
Yeah. Not even close. Yeah. You've definitely never been in a situation like that before.
Yeah.
And then, what else were you talking about there?
Well,
just the team building thing. So it's interesting because you're right. You know, top paid receiver, how often do they win a Super Bowl? Well, last year is a pretty fun example to look at because you look at the Chiefs and they moved on from Tyreek Hill and traded him away. They won the Super Bowl. But then the inverse, you look at the NFC and the Eagles traded for A.J. Brown and they made the Super Bowl. You know,
but A.J. Brown's not making buckets of money either.
I believe he's a top five, top 10 receiver. So pretty close. If the Packers had offered Davante that A.J. Brown contract in 2021, he would have been with the team right now. So I would say in a vacuum, yes, you're right. Moving on from Davante isn't the worst, especially when, you know, the potential of Christian Watson that we have now. But at the same time, from a team building aspect, especially when you're going all in all year, it obviously was a mistake when you have Aaron Rodgers and a bunch of rookies pretty much.
Yeah.
Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb. But
that was obviously fumbled. But
back to the article, a couple other things. Obviously, the OTA talk, which a lot of people have talked about. I still don't know how much value there is in shorts. I think that is more of a, you know, team building type thing more than actual X's and O's that would be helped. You know, like fuck in January, nothing from OTAs would have helped this team in that game against the Lions. Like, I'll go to my grave saying shit like that. But at the same time, Rodgers brought up that, you know, this part was interesting. The team was upset with Rodgers not showing up to OTAs. Sure, we kind of thought that. And then, quote, a source associated with the team, who I assume is Brian Gutekunst. There's only two guys who were interviewed in the story, and then there's some unnamed sources. I'm pretty sure it was just off the record with Brian Gutekunst. But a source said the Packers weren't satisfied with Rodgers' commitment and effort, not only during OTAs, but on a day-to-day basis during the season, which was more interesting. Matt Schneidman, when he was on Wilde and Tausch today, Wilde asked Matt if he had some examples or if he asked for examples from the source of what the day-to-day things were that Rodgers weren't doing. The person could not give an example. So this is once again conspiracy theory brain. I don't know if that's exactly what maybe Rodgers was leaving early or some shit, but the fact that they wouldn't put their name to the line, but they wouldn't actually give examples either, you know, red flag bullshit.
Yeah. To give zero credit to something unnamed source, that to me, that is worthless. Like, it maybe at the best value you could give something like that is like, if somebody's an unnamed source saying something, you know, if they're tipping somebody off, they're the canary in the coal mine or something like that. Okay, let's look out for that narrative. But like, when somebody's an unnamed source, I just don't like, I've heard it so many times. The Ty Dune, how many unnamed sources were the Ty Dune story? Like, I just like the unnamed stuff is just, I mean, sure, you can look into it, but there, I mean, good luck.
There's a difference between unnamed sources on like NFL rumors account, you know, on Twitter versus a Matt Schneidman piece. So I do believe this was.
I'm not discrediting Matt. I'm not saying discrediting Matt at all. I just like, I'm like, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Either way, I think it was Goody who said it, and he didn't want to give specifics. That's my own take. It's probably not true, but who knows? But then, and something I've said too, Aaron Rodgers said in this article as well, you know, they're mad about him not being at OTAs, but it helps him to get refreshed and all that. I know it's stupid, but again, you look at the four off seasons that Rodgers skipped OTAs. The first one was in 2011 when there was a lockout. He won MVP. The second one was the COVID year. What do you know? He won MVP. The third one was the year he was pissed off at the team and was kind of holding out. Came back, won MVP. The fourth year, last year, did not work out. That was bad. He should have been there. But either way, I think we're looking into it a little bit too much.
I don't like, okay, so the unnamed source says basically he's not committed to the team. I don't personally see that as Rodgers. I would defend him on that one of like, he's a diva, sure, whatever. Yes. Like, say what you want. And he has a lot of spite maybe for Gutekunst, but like, I don't think he's not committed to the team. Like, he takes football very seriously. Like, give him credit for that. Like, off the field stuff, sure, he's a diva. He does stuff that you're like, what the hell? Like, just be a normal person. But on the field, it's like, he's going to give you everything he's got. He's played through a bunch of injuries. Like, you got to give Rodgers credit there. Like, I don't, that's like a character attack that I'm not here for, of the Rodgers like not being committed. Like, I don't believe that for a second.
Like, he played through with a broken thumb. I know he comes off as a douchebag.
The broken leg or whatever that one year. Yeah. The broken leg. And like,
I think this was just in reference to last year, but it's, either way, not
Rodgers
good to
has
see
receipts.
It. Yes.
I stand with Rodgers on that one.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too. He went on to, you know, push back at the OTA thing. He said, quote, I feel good about the way I showed up for my guys every single week. And it's convenient now to look at that. Talk about skipping the OTAs and, you know, potentially not being there during the day or whatever, not fully committed. But it wasn't a conversation when Russ and Matt and Brian and Mark would thank me for my speeches after games or the way I fought, played, and different things. You can rewrite history all you want, but like I said, I got the receipts. He also went on to say, you know, we talked about the FaceTiming thing a little bit earlier too. He had that line where he said, you know, he communicates with people, but he, you know, communicates more to the people he likes. So he's saying that he doesn't like Brian Gutekunst. Again, it's like, dude, you can say this shit without fucking saying it like that. Like, come on, dude. Like,
I don't know. No, I'm here for it. Take the gloves off.
Yeah, I guess. It's just like, come on,
it's
dude.
It's over. You're... Like, this is our last hurrah.
I know. He did say, Roger said, before going on the darkness retreat, he did reach out to Goody and said he wanted to meet up with him and Matt because he heard some rumors swirling around. So he tried to have another meeting that he didn't duck out on. That didn't happen. He came out of the darkness retreat. Done. His agent told him that the Packers were floating his name around, so he said, okay, I want to play for the Jets, and that was pretty much it. The last thing to talk about with the article...
Wait, so he came out of there, like, basically, like, he came out of the dark room, and somebody was like, hey, they're floating your name around, and it's like, okay, I want to play for the Jets? Tampering? Yeah.
Well, yeah, once again, it's... Okay. Well, who knows? Who knows who started the...
You're in a dark room for with 5 days and all. Oh, I just want to play for the Jets now.
Maybe he was in the dark room and that's when they started floating his name around, because that article from Domofsky and someone else a couple of weeks ago as well kind of went through all of it and how Goody pretty much reached out to the Jets like, what do you think? Like, in person, like, what do you think of? What if he became available? And yeah, all that. The last thing to talk about with this, finally, I'm sure everyone loves talking about Aaron Rodgers. Once again, one of the... me because I'm kind of, I like Goody. I don't love him, but he seems like just as much of a narcissist as Rodgers at times. I would say, you know, he drafted Jordan Love, gave him a, you know, he has a 4-year contract when he had Aaron Rodgers for 4 years still. Anyways, interesting thing that Goody said when talking about Jordan Love, and that first start that he had, quote, "We didn't have a great plan for him there. I thought the way he responded to that, the way he handled himself in the midst of all that chaos and a tough time, I think it gave us confidence that he could stay poised in those moments." This is a shot at Matt LaFleur. You can say this without saying the game plan. You could say he was thrown into a tough situation on a short week. You can say that, and you're not throwing your coach under the bus. But once again, you're talking about the game plan. And I, like myself, I don't think the higher-ups at Lambeau like that Matt kept his whole coaching staff around, especially the offensive one. And I think this is kind of what he's alluding to here, too, where the plan isn't always great from Matt. But it's funny to see Goody go on record. There was like 2 or 3 quotes in here from Goody, and one of them is, you know, throwing shade at Matt LaFleur. Not the most shade, but I would still say you didn't have to say that.
I mean, yeah, you definitely don't have to say that. I'm trying to think of a way to like spin zone it, but I'm having a hard time. I'm just like playing devil's advocate, but it's like, okay, he's just trying to prop up Love, but at the same time,
which is
it's
fine.
Like, you don't have to put down your coach to prop up Love.
Exactly. And even Jordan said that he didn't play well, but Goody wouldn't say that. You know, wow.
I can't think of, I was trying to spin zone it. I was really trying. I don't have a spin zone. So yeah, that was just dumb. That was a dumb idea to say it. And maybe it just slipped out. Like, these guys aren't perfect. They're not great media guys. I don't know. Just like,
well, but he watches his words. We talked about the whole asking to get fired thing, and he knew what to say for that. It wasn't able to
interesting.
Say. He's taken his gloves off a little bit more when he talks about Rodgers. You know, like I said before, too, the whole texting FaceTime thing. It's like, God, I keep saying I'm ready to move on, but obviously we're still talking
we're at
about
the end.
It. So
we're close.
So yeah, we'll move on now, and I promise everyone, this will definitely be the last time
we'll never talk
Rodgers
about Rodgers again
on this podcast.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of 1. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
So, more fun things, more now things going on. The Packers OTAs and rookie minicamp happened a couple weeks ago. Couple of fun things to talk about here with players who are on the team. The tight ends, Musgrave, something that a few people have brought up is how fast and big he is, which kind of is a big thing with this team. John Kuhn describing the team. He was at practice today, said that they're the youngest and tallest and fastest team he's seen. I don't know how you could just look at a team practicing and like snapshot that and look back in time to other teams you've been around. Pretty cool either way. Musgrave, two things about him. So we had our whole draft thing talking about these guys.
Yep.
I think Tucker Kraft is going to be better than Musgrave. I'm going to say that now. I know I was a little, you know.
Just in general, you're going to say like in the first 2 years, or you're just saying better?
I think better. I feel like there's a higher floor for Tucker Kraft and the type of player he is as opposed to the player that Musgrave is. Musgrave is, you know, he is an offensive weapon. If he can't be a receiver in the NFL, he's not going to cut it out. Kraft is in line. He can block, and he just looks more like a tight end. You know, Musgrave looks a little bit more slender. And the weird things about him, and I'm not, you know, an X's and O's guys, but it's he falls down pretty quick. He's kind of weird with the ball in his hands, and he goes down pretty easy. And you watch him practice, and we'll watch him in the preseason. He leaves his feet to catch the ball a lot, which yeah, I don't think you're supposed to do. And especially him, when he already doesn't seem to have the best control with his feet. You know, he is like a goddamn elk out there. He falls quite a bit. So I'm curious to see how that works. I'm still very excited to see him, and I'm probably going to be wrong on who will be better between the two, but just something I noticed.
Yeah. I know there's some guys out there that too that have been successful with like weird things. Like I'm trying to remember who's the Giants receiver that would just
yeah
like
you
fall
you
over
love
every
Victor
time.
Cruz you hated Victor Cruz because he so would it's always like, go down like that. There's Tyler Lockett for the Seahawks now is kind
of Tyler Lockett. That's it. Actually who I was yep. thinking of, Tyler Lockett. But I did not like Victor Cruz. Anyways, yeah, there's like you can. I think the jumping thing I've seen guys do that before. I don't know if it's like a concentration thing, like when you're in the air, there's no like bouncing. I have no idea what it is.
It's odd because I remember when we coached and it was like a thing that you should.
There's some guys that do that though, like that.
But I don't remember
consistently.
I don't remember seeing it so much in the league. Like you know,
probably
I
not in the league. Yeah, yes. Probably not in the league.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't. So you're saying Tucker Kraft, you think is going to be better than Musgrave?
I think he's got that football mind. I know I said he's maybe not.
I kind of tend to agree. Like Kittle's not like. I mean, so Kittle's
Gronk
athletic. He's athletic.
Yeah,
like Gronk is really athletic too. But like they're more of like
knucklehead.
They're
types.
Like stumbling, thicker, bumbling.
Yes, I don't,
like Gronk is stumbling, bumbling. But yes. Like you can't knock him down. But like Kittle is more of just like a hard nosed. Like he's like your hard nosed football player, right? Like he's a tight end.
Right.
Like, so that's like, I don't know, more of like a Kraft type thing I could see. Like, that's more of his skill set.
And but. Kraft likes contact. Yes. Kraft goes after guys. And I don't think Musgrave has that. And it's, again, you know, we have a much smaller sample size early. With him. I guess Kraft, you know, he got hurt last year too. But I don't know. We'll see. Just something I thought of.
But then you've got guys in the league too, like Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham
yeah, that's a good point.
Hated contact. Yeah. And look how successful he was. So, like, you don't have to.
That's a good
to,
point. That's a very good point.
It's just in how you use them, too. So,
yeah. We'll so, see. we've got Kittle / Gronk and Jimmy Graham. Oh, wow. Are you? I don't think I
We're
said this before.
We're in good shape.
You ready for my nickname for Kraft?
What is it?
So, he's, you know, we're saying he's kind of like Gronk. His okay. name is Kraft, K-R. Okay. Have yeah. you ever watched The Emperor's New Groove?
I definitely have.
Kronk.
Kronk?
Kronk. He
oh,
is Kronk.
Yeah, he's Kronk. Yeah, okay.
He's Kronk, and it's also Gronk, and it's Kraft. Kraft, Gronk, Kronk, Kronk, Emperor's New Groove. There you go. That's what I'm calling
I like it.
Kronk.
I like it. So we have Kronk, and then I, you know, a lot Uh-oh. Of people call him Hercules, but I think he's Johnny Ooh. Bravo.
Yeah, that I do like
he
that
looks
one, too.
Like Johnny
he's got
Bravo.
That,
and the
he's
hair?
Got very blonde hair. Yes.
I think, yes.
We need to get some sunglasses for him.
I think he's Johnny Bravo.
We'll see. I am very much looking forward to him, too. I guess we can talk about him. Like Musgrave as well, people are talking about Lucas Van Ness because he is tall and he is big. And once again, he just... and I mean, we've heard this kind of shit in the past, and this is, you know, short season for these football players. You know,
yes.
We've talked about it as well. Like, DJ Williams was so good back in the day in shorts. Torrey Gurley, those guys. So we'll see. You know, Dayton Jones, I think he was very impressive early on. and we're getting that same kind of deal with Lucas Van Ness. So people are just saying how strong he looks, how big he looks. So I'm already very excited about that. A very good thing to bring up on a podcast. Another thing, the offensive line competition there, Bakhtiari and Elton Jenkins did show up this week for OTAs. They weren't there last week. So right now, it's Bakhtiari, Elton Jenkins on the left side. They said that's pretty much squared away, obviously. But then Steno said it should be a competition on the rest of the line. So center, right guard, right tackle. Zach Tom was at right tackle today. A lot of people, and we've been on this as well, think he'll compete at center, especially the things that they ask this offensive line to do. Zach Tom seems to be a very smart player, quick player. Meyer, he's just so fucking big. I don't think he can do all the things that Matt is exactly asking, and he did struggle at times. So I want, and then Runyon's good too. It would be interesting if it ended up being like Tom at center, Myers at right guard, and then I don't know, Yosh at right tackle, which would be
Myers did play some guard in college, right? Myers played guard, so that's not like out of the question for him to move over. He's huge,
but he's only taken snaps at center in the NFL, and I believe he only played 1 year at center at Ohio State. So
not a big offensive line guy, but like, wouldn't it probably be an easier position to be a guard?
I would think that's where I'm at
least
too.
Mentally, I would think it's easier. And then it's not like when you get put out on the edge, that's a different ball game, right? And like, that's why tackles get paid so much money. But like going from center to guard, like I said, not a line guy, but it doesn't feel like it's like that much of a, it feels like it would almost be easier. I don't know.
Well, it's like, and if we gave Elton that contract last year, and there are some weird things in it where he would make more money if he plays tackle.
Oh,
I wouldn't be shocked if, and I don't know what happens with David Bakhtiari. I wouldn't be shocked if we end up trading him sometime during the season too, but I could see it being like Bakhtiari, Myers, Tom, Runyon. And then,
I was thinking the exact same thing, and then put Elton out on the right side.
Right. Exactly. So I don't know.
That's almost makes, if you're looking at it on paper right now, that almost seems like it would make the most sense. If Tom and Myers, if that's a good flip flop for them,
right?
Like Tom that, seems like he can play anywhere.
Yes,
I mean Zach Tom's played everywhere and he's been successful everywhere, so like, which is great.
Yes,
but just putting them in the best position to succeed. So I don't know. That'd be interesting to see what they do,
and especially if you're looking long term with the team. You know, for Elton's time with the team, he's mostly been next to David. Well, especially if we're looking at the future here. I mean, we didn't even mention Yosh, who's in the last year of his deal as well, and you could stick him at either end of the tackles too. So maybe, once again, wouldn't be shocked if we go through the season, maybe it's not going great, and we decide to trade David Bakhtiari and put Yosh at left tackle or right tackle, whatever, he's played both at this point. So
yeah, it'd be interesting to see like how that affects the run game too. You know, if you move Myers out to guard and have a bigger guard there, if that changes anything with how we run the ball. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is people have talked about if Zach Tom is like big enough to play in the interior. And I forgot who said this. Maybe it was Nagler, but it's like, do you remember Scott Wells? Like, he wasn't
a
big guy.
I was literally thinking that exact same thing. It's like Scott Wells was not a big guy.
No, yeah. Big,
and he was
big Tennessee.
He was great.
Yeah, one of the, I remember going to training camp back in like 2008, 2007. You know, I'd go to practice and then hang out by the parking lot and get autographs. We have a Packers bag chair that is signed by Scott Wells.
Oh, really?
I think my mom had him sign it for whatever reason, and it broke eventually and we threw it away. But so there you go. Shout out Scott R.I.P. Wells. Some injury tiddly bits. Eric Stokes, he had the two injuries last year. I think he broke his foot and hurt his ankle or something, but he had two surgeries at the same time. Not very good. He's been running. They sound optimistic, but more so, it sounds like they're more hopeful with Gary potentially being ready sooner than we initially thought, potentially. So
how soon are we expecting him to be back?
I don't know. I think he said something about being ready for the start of the season, but we'll see. I don't know.
That would be wild.
He is a freak. I mean, he is Bane Gary, so if anyone's going to do it, I could see it being him.
That's some AP shit right there. Yeah, if he's ready week one, I mean,
we could use some ACL luck as well after going through David's thing, which was terrible, and Elton's wasn't very good either. He was able to play, but just not up to his standard at the first half of last year. Competition at safety, it's funny because, you know, like a month or two going into the draft, it's like, man, we need some bodies. And now it is Savage versus Rudy Ford versus Tavarius Moore, the guy we signed who played with the Niners, Anthony Johnson Jr., the seventh round draft pick, and then Jonathan Owens, who we signed a couple weeks ago, who is notably Simone Biles' husband. We mentioned him earlier. It's funny because, you know, usually at least a few years ago, like when Rodgers was dating Danica Patrick, like the Chicago newspapers would say, Danica Patrick's boyfriend. And it's like with this, with Simone Biles, it's like, well, actually, she is like clearly the more famous athlete here. But that'll be interesting. They've been rotating it to start OTAs. It was Savage and Rudy back there. But I know Justice Mosqueda watched some tape on Owens and thinks, you know, there's potential that he could play some snaps for us. But again, Anthony Johnson Jr. is the guy I hope we hear a lot about during training camp.
Yeah, I think it's one of those training camp guys. There's a lot of buzz around him. Heard his name a few times. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I don't know anything about Owens, but
yeah, he was an undrafted guy and apparently played pretty well for the Texans down the stretch last year.
Okay, sure.
Yep. The other big thing, Quay Walker. Now, this is a little thing, but it's a big thing. You know, once again, mincing words, you know, diving way too deep into the shit we get from these coaches. Mm-hmm. So I think it was Wildy who asked it too. Talking to Jason Robovich or whatever, however you say his name, my name's terrible too, but the outside linebacker coach, they asked about Quay rushing the passer more or lining him up outside, you know, if they've thought about doing that more this season. And he answered, yes. Nothing else, yes. That should get everyone excited because Quay, as the season went on, they rushed him more, and he's clearly a very athletic guy, and he had that kind of wiggle rushing the passer. So the fact that when asked a pretty pointed question of, you know, if they thought about doing this, and all he does is say yes, clearly they have pretty big plans for Quay Walker this year. Maybe they can do that kind of Z shit with him and move him around the line.
It'd be interesting. You know, we're a long time removed from capers, but you remember like the NASCAR package, and then not so much the NASCAR package, but when Clay was reaching the end of his career, when they would move him around and rush him inside, that was really fun.
Yes.
And
like that would be year, yes.
That was like my favorite. It was like one of my favorite Clay years just because he was everywhere. And it was like, great, we're taking our best player, move him all around. Like, I don't know.
And then the next year, he was like, I don't want to do that. My contract, and I get hit too much. But
he was pretty old by that point, too. But
unfortunately, But maybe Quay will be. Do you remember what the term was that Petten had for these linebackers you can move around?
I don't know.
Bitch kitty. I believe it was bitch kitty.
Oh,
in his book talking about defenses. I believe that's what it was. So hopefully Quay can be Barry's bitch kitty. And
that just is the weirdest term. Okay.
I like it. I like it.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Right. Joe Barry, mentioned him there. We obviously talk a lot of shit about Joe Barry. I don't think he's good enough to be a defensive coordinator in the NFL. The Packers are the only team he could ever be a defensive coordinator for. I wish he wasn't our defensive coordinator. However, I thought he had a really good... So he had availability a week or two ago. I posted it on Twitter and actually got some interactions, which was pretty sweet. But Bill Michaels, who asked the MVS question, will play the clip here. But it's Bill Michaels' terrible question and then Barry's pretty good answer.
I'm going to play a little word association, or in this case, words association. If I would say 8 number one draft choices out of your first 11, you would say...
You've got
8 first round picks now, I think, on that defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Just talk about trying to maximize that investment.
Sure. Let me flip your little game here. What if we just had a roster full of 7th round draft picks? Would expectations not be high? You know. We expect this is the greatest thing about not only the National Football League, but being at the Green Bay Packers. Expectations are high all the time, no matter what. So regardless of the fact, I'm very aware of our roster. I'm very aware of the draft status of all of our players, but expectations are and should be high all the time. And this year will be no different. There's absolutely no doubt about that. So I don't know if I answered the question the way you wanted, but the expectations thing does not. That's the great thing about having this word on our chest, is that we're Green Bay Packers, and the expectations at this place are high all the time, and that's great. I love it.
So, I love that.
I love that.
Don't like Joe Barry at all, but after hearing that, it's like, I don't want to run through a brick wall, but I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't want you fired today. It's like, it's kind of like the last year McCarthy was around, or the second to last year, someone was asking him about like how bad the season was going. He's like, hey man, I wake up every day and I get to be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Like, yes. I can't complain. I'm like, that's the shit that I love. That's that stupid Disney shit that I usually make fun of, like Matt LaFleur for or something. But I'm like, the offseason right now, and especially with Joe Barry, when we don't have anything else to hang our hat on with him, I'll take a pretty snappy quote from a presser, which maybe he thought he would be asked about that. But to me, especially the way he like stuttered and was stammering a little bit at the beginning, he was like, God, this guy really fucking asked me that. He's like, you know what? And I'm like, such a great answer about the 7th round draft picks. I'm like, tomorrow we can fire you, but for today, I'm okay that you're our defensive coordinator.
It's like, it's a football guy answer. It's like, hey, the expectations are always high. I don't care if these guys are first round picks or undrafted guys. We're going to go out there and we're going to try and win football games. Like, that is like, the quintessential football message. Like, I don't care who you are. If you step on the field, you're going to go make a play. Like, that's like, that's a football guy. And like, we don't have enough football guys in the Packers organization right now. Like,
well, we'll see. We'll see. We're young and fast.
Oh yeah. Okay. Maybe. I'm just more talking on like in the front office, in the building.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
We got more analytics.
I'm not talking
now.
About the players. Yeah. It's more coaching staff just doesn't seem to be giving out the football vibes.
Yes.
Anymore. It's more. Yeah. Anyways.
And the other part that's funny too is it's Bill Michaels. He sucks. Like I said, he had that MBS quote a couple of years ago. How can you live with MBS when he dropped a ball? And he sucks. It's like he just lived on Twitter or like ESPN around the draft where they're like, oh, the Packers haven't used a first round pick. It's like he literally read a stat and just like read it back to him. He's like, okay, come on, feed me. Tell me something about this. It's like you couldn't even form a competent question. And I would play Wildy's follow up here. But it's like most Wildy questions, very long, but it gave you context and it was such a great question. It took him 30 seconds, but he asked the same question, but with actual thought, and got a very thoughtful response too, which is why they ask longer questions. But it's just, I was very happy for Joe Barry finally like pushing back when, you know, everything's been absolute garbage with him.
Yeah, it's a great response.
Really taken over. Moving on. Very important, and I don't know how much we want to get into this. The rebuild versus reload. Like a month ago, David Bakhtiari was on with Bustin' with the Boys. He had a very odd week. It was this where they were asking him about moving on from Rodgers and the team this year. He said, the Packers are rebuilding, whether you think so or not. And then he referred to the team. I just burped in the mic. He also referred to the team as they and not we.
That was a little weird, but.
Very weird. He was like, well, look at Vegas, all this. Very odd. And then later that week, he absolutely eviscerated the Packers' Twitter account for the draft thing. It's like, dude, you can feel that way, but this is not important. And I don't want to read into it too much. But it's
on
like,
one hand, I love that Dave is just like unapologetically himself.
Yes, agreed.
But it's also like the they talk makes me feel like he's just on his way out. And maybe it's a situation where he's going to get walked out the door type of thing where it's like, you know what I mean? Like, who knows what's going to happen with him? Maybe that's the writing on the wall, and that's why he's talking the way he's talking. But, like, yeah, I don't love – either way, I don't love to see it. I don't know. Yeah,
very, very odd. It's like, I get it, but it's like, you're on the team, dude. Like, yes, it's a bit of a rebuild, but even Goody didn't want to say it was a rebuild.
Yeah.
Moving on, last week during OTAs, Aaron Jones, you know, the star of the team, probably my favorite player on the team right now. Like, he's just – such a good dude. Like, did you see like a couple weeks ago too, he was at some high school for a charity event?
I did see that.
And he got on a kid who apparently said the Packers aren't good, and he's like, Aaron Jones is like, yeah, you say that, but could you play for that team? And then everyone's like, ooh, like he's in a gymnasium. And then Aaron Jones is like, no, I don't mean any disrespect. Like, I'm just saying, like, it's a professional football team. And I'm like, God, I just want to hug that dude every time he talks. The only negative thing about him is he needs to shave his head. That hairline is so far back at this point.
Oh,
but I love
him
either way.
Yeah.
Well, I think he is, like, one of the most likable guys. I mean, like, him and Jamal together, that was, like, such a fun duo. Like, those two together was so fun. Like, Jamal's, obviously, you saw he wore, like, a, I don't know, it was, like, some sort of, a like, eyes on his visor or something like that. I don't know. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, even that first year with them, God, they were such good buddies, too. And I don't know. I like A.J. Dillon, but I still... I would have rather
I love AJ Dillon too.
Yeah.
It seems like in retrospect, I mean, obviously Jamal had a huge year last year on that Lions team, which ran the ball a lot. But I mean, I love the way Jamal runs. Just like it's just a slasher. You know
and
what
he's
I mean?
So pure, like, too. Like, even that interview after the Lions beat the Packers at the end of the year, like, he's crying because his grandpa died. And
I know. He's the best guy.
He's a dog. He's like, what did he say? Don't get twisted with these tears. Like, I'm still a dog or something like that. I'm like, fuck. Like, that's...
We've had some pretty awesome running backs, not going to lie, over the years. Like, I don't really
want to talk about A.J. Dillon because I think I've soured on him, too. I've turned into the curmudgeon old man where I'm like, do you want to be a football player or do you want to be...
He's just a big Door County
Michael
guy.
Strahan.
He's just a big Door County guy.
He's a big Door County guy. He's a big soccer guy. He's a big Brewers guy. He's a big foodie.
He's a big guy.
He's a big Twitch guy. He does a little bit of everything. Makes you think if his heart rate. He's a big
football
card guy.
Oh, it's just cool.
I might be thinking a little bit too much.
Are you the unnamed source? And was that quote actually about AJ Dillon? Well, he's not committed.
I talked about it last year when he went on Bustin' with the Boys. I don't watch that podcast or listen to it, but when they have a Packer on, I will. And the thing that still sticks out to me, and I'm probably focusing on way too much, was A.J. Dillon saying, you got to make sure that the fans see you with your helmet off so they know who you are and all this. And from a business perspective is what he said to. And I'm like, I want you to be good at football first, and then you can do all that other shit. But that's me. I'm absolutely in the wrong on this. And no, A.J. does seem to be a pretty good dude. Anyways.
Seems like a good guy.
Back to what we were talking about. Aaron Jones said, quote, we've got everything we need here. If you think we're in a rebuild, then you've got the wrong team, the wrong place. We're here to play ball. We're hungry. We're ready to prove a lot of people wrong. We know what people are saying. Everybody has an opinion. Most of them stink. So he said that last week, you know, about people who think that this team's rebuilding. And then David Bakhtiari said this today. How I look at it is it's disrespectful to say you're not rebuilding off a Hall of Fame after a Hall of Fame quarterback. It was disrespectful to say you weren't rebuilding off of Brett Favre when he moved to Aaron. No one knew Aaron and what he was going to be, so I'm not going to sit here and pull back those words because of that. Goes on to say some other things, but that's basically it. I don't know. Todd, is this a rebuild? Is this a reload?
It's a rebuild just because I don't know what a reload is. I don't like that's it's a rebuild. Like, yeah,
last year was a reload after moving Davante Adams. It was a reload after
last year was the beginning of a reload. We didn't have any wide receivers with any experience. This year's just as bad, if not worse, if you're talking the experience avenue.
Dude,
we have nobody with any experience.
The experience? Okay, so Wilde put this out this week too. 56 of the 91 players on the Packers roster are first or second year players. 61.5% of this team has one or less years experience in the NFL, which is crazy. And then again, the conspiracy brain that I've got going on, I guess. The wide receivers and tight ends are so young. The pass catchers for this offense are incredibly young. Obviously, the running backs are one of the more veteran group, even though A.J. Dillon's like 23, 24, whatever.
But he's got a couple of years.
I wonder if Goody is setting this team up to not be very good this year so that he can get a new coach in and have more say, because he did not have say for Matt LaFleur. That was a Mark Murphy choice. Once again, this is probably wrong, but literally, this is far and away the youngest pass-catching team in the NFL. Bill Huber put out an article a couple of weeks ago, every other team has at least one receiver who has 3 years experience. We don't have a single receiver.
Yeah, but don't you think
2 years experience?
If you were really going to try and get rid of LaFleur, wouldn't you give him some weapons and watch him fail?
I think that's what he's kind of arguing with this very young, very talented team that everyone is very excited for right now. Right now, because we haven't seen them yet, and I do think the core of this team is pretty talented. But how is this team going to start the year off? Especially,
oh, it's going to be rough.
but especially not bringing Big Dog back, which obviously we like him. He does the intro of the podcast and everything,
of course.
But close to a vet minimum deal, and he would only help teach those guys up. And I don't think he would take many snaps away from those guys. But having him in that room, I feel like would be incredibly beneficial. And I think he kind of wants this coaching staff to flounder a bit. I don't know. Like I said, I'm probably wrong. I hate saying this shit, but it's a thought.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess if I were going to do it, that's not the way I would do it. And I mean, does he not have...
How would you build a team?
I'm just saying that's not how I would fire LaFleur.
Yes. But at the same time, he can't fire him. He can only set him up to do very well.
That's so weird the way that it works, but I don't know. Sure. I mean, you've laid out the conspiracy theory. We'll see if it unfolds.
Several at this point on the podcast.
Yeah. It's just, this is turning into a conspiracy theory podcast.
Maybe we'll just have to change the name at some point, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's clearly a rebuild as well. Again, this is, and I haven't been able to say this since I was 15, 16, but I really, and I think we said this before too, I really don't care about how many wins we have this year. I care, but
I'd rather see that talent.
If Jordan Love is him, if he shows enough, and I don't want this half-ass, like, well, he played well enough, or like the defense the last 2 years, it's like, oh, well, he was good down the stretch. I need those moments where he's got that dog in him. I don't care if we win six games and miss the playoffs like we did the first year with Rodgers. As long as Jordan Love looks like the quarterback of the future, we could win two games and I'm fine.
Yeah, I think, okay. So I think, yeah, I agree with that. I don't have many expectations. I have no expectations for this year, really, to be honest. I mean, that offense is just, I mean, nobody's going to know what they're doing week one.
Dude, it's going to be weird.
It's going to be, if we
run it 50 times.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. That's not fair to Aaron Jones and some of the offensive line. They do know what they're doing. But
that's what I'm saying. We got to run it.
That's it. Yeah. All right, that's it. Nobody out there. I mean, they're going to be running into each other on routes. Like, I don't know.
Like they were last year. Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah.
But yeah,
it's going to be interesting, but it is. Like, I love having the talent. It's going to be really fun to watch the talent. Like, we got to hold on through the first 6 weeks and see where we come out after that and just go, okay, like this is just a young group of guys that's figuring it out. And you've got a coaching staff that I guess I would argue on the offensive, defensive side too, but like isn't super proven in a lot of different areas. Like the coaching staff also.
Yes.
I mean, they're not working with vet guys. It's got to be way easier to coach up the vets than it is to coach up rookies. And now you've got a bunch of rookies.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, and basically, you've got like Romeo Dubs, who I think is going to be a great wide receiver. But obviously, there was some. When Rodgers was talking about the mental mistakes last year, it was pretty much he was talking about Romeo Dubs.
Yeah.
And now he's one of the guys leading the room, you know? And I'm sure he's a lot more in line with what's going on, but it's still like, you know, 2 years ago, Jason Vrabel had Davante Adams and Randall Cobb in there, and now he's got Christian Watson and Romeo Dubs and Samari Toure, who are the leading voices. So it's very interesting. And like you said, those first, everyone's very excited now. I am too, but I think that first month is going to be like a dog rough.
It kind of reminds me of I'm trying to remember exactly who it was. Was it Jordy talking about Randall way back when he's like, had to kind of like get after him. It was one of the guys. It was Devontae.
He got on Devontae.
It was Devontae. It was Jordy getting after Devontae. Yep. That's what it was. Of like, hey, this is how you work. Like, that's what you're doing is not it. Like, you need to do this. Like, that doesn't, that we don't have that. There's nobody in that room that can do that. basically. So like that's a little bit worrisome on guys that have the talent that you don't want them. Like, I don't know, like think of what could have happened to Devontae. He did not, nobody was looking at Devontae in the first 2 years going, oh wow, yeah, this guy's amazing. A lot of
they were calling for Jeff Janis, yeah.
Yeah, they were calling for Jeff Janis. So it's like, it's a really, the development of these guys is really important in these first 3 years. Like, I don't know, like that part worries me a little bit when you don't have the big dog, you don't have a pass catcher in there, you know, with these young tight ends, somebody who can show them, hey, like I've been in the league for 10 years. This is what it takes. Like, you're not going to be in the league. Make your decision.
Yeah.
And so like, I don't know, like, it's that culture thing that's not tangible, but like if nobody's there to tell you, I don't know, I just feel like that message gets lost and then where are we at? I don't know. It's
right,
you don't want to see that go away.
It's good that they had Big Dog last year and they had Cobb last year too, so at least, you know, the second year guys now and Josiah DeGuara and I almost said Tyler Eifert. I almost said Tyler Irvin there too. What is his name? Tyler Davis. At least they know what being a pro is, so they have that to base what they're doing off of. But again, probably could be something we're reading into too much, but we've never done that on this podcast. Moving on, Packers preseason, nothing too crazy to talk about here, but the schedule was officially announced. August 11th at the Bengals, August 19th versus the Patriots, August 26th versus Seattle. Now that shit really doesn't matter. That means nothing right now hearing that, but very interesting. You know, a lot of people were saying Aaron Rodgers is gone. Now Matt LaFleur can finally, you know, run his offense. Well, now Matt LaFleur can actually run his practices because we have two joint practices, which Aaron Rodgers on record despised. So we're going to have our first away joint practice in Cincinnati, which will be cool. I thought of it when I was putting together the notes for the pod. I'm like, are we going to get a picture of T. Higgins and Jordan Love together? That would be interesting. Ooh. And I'm sure we're going to have a bunch of fun captions with that. But in Cincinnati, they'll have a joint practice, have a game there. And then that next week, the Patriots come to town and they will have joint practices with them, which is pretty cool. And kind of piggybacking off that, the Patriots coming to town, the Packers officially, Mark Murphy finally, and this was announced last week or the week before, will host the 2025 NFL draft.
Wow, we did
in
it.
In Green Bay. We did it. Yep. The one thing he's been holding on to for so long, you know, what was funny is, you know, they always get these presentations together and they have to present to the league their ideas and what they're going to do and all that. They had no competition this year. No one else was going after the 2025 NFL draft. And that's what it took for him, unless maybe they just didn't, no one else went up for it because they knew the Packers were going to get it because that's going to be Mark Murphy's last year as well. It'll be like 5 months after that. He'll be forced to retire. Very interesting, very fun. I'm a little worried about it. April in Green Bay, we know how the weather can be.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. It could be beautiful or it could be disgusting.
Just ask AJ Dillon. Door County is always amazing.
It sounds like they're probably going to have the actual stage and shit in Lambeau, but they obviously have the Titletown district, which looks like it was literally created for this type of event.
Yeah.
You know, you think of the Bucks. God, what is it called? The Deer District outside, but you think of like the Nashville draft that they had where it's just a long stretch where
Nashville's
people can
a
be.
Good one.
Kansas City this year where it's that long stretch, and Titletown, the way it's kind of offset Lambeau Field with Lambeau in the background, I think they'll have a similar thing. It's going to be weird. The big word last week was infrastructure. Does Green Bay have the infrastructure to hold them, to hold everyone coming to town? Apparently 250,000 people is what came to Kansas City this year.
Way.
Green Bay has a population of 100,000. They anticipate like $9 million of revenue or whatever coming in. It's a little scary. Wow. I wonder how it's all going to work out.
I don't think there's 250,000 people going to Green Bay, right? Kansas City's a different ballgame.
I think it's going to be goofy because I'd be willing to bet it's going to be a ton of people from Wisconsin,
yep,
and you know us, finding a reason to drink, to go to Green Bay and to drink for a football thing. I plan on going. Yeah, God, I don't. I really don't.
Really?
I was gonna say
that surprises me.
You think about the NFL draft and you're like, yes, I love the draft. But then when you actually watch the draft, like the Packers make a pick, you know, they announce who it is. And they go to the fans, and the fans blindly cheer for the player they've never heard of, who is now Green Bay Packer. And I'm like, I don't think I need to be in a big group of people to watch someone very far away walk up on the stage, announce the name, and then I have to awkwardly watch YouTube highlights on my phone.
I'm not going there to watch them announce draft pick. Mm-hmm. I'm going there to just hang out at Lambeau in April, which would be, and I think that would be pretty fun because when's it coming back? I mean, is it going to come back?
Yeah.
Let's say it snows, blizzards while we're there. They'll never bring it back. And then you can be like, we were there for the blizzard. For the draft blizzard. And it was amazing.
But this is what I would argue. 3 weeks
because we couldn't get out. There was 250,000 people. Yeah. Toilets weren't flushing. It was
insane.
We
made a whole city. But so this is what I would argue and why I put them next to each other. I would rather go to the Packers-Patriots joint practice than the 2025 NFL draft. Like, that's more Packers-centric for me, you know, because especially like the second round. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that exciting to be there in person. You know, I think it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be cool to see all the stuff and how they have it set up.
I think it's what
music acts and shit, but I think I'd rather watch from home than go to the draft. And maybe I'm in the minority here, but I'd rather go to practice than do that.
I think we will have a pod there, live pod, and we'll walk around and, you know, Al Michaels, hey, can we do one of those, you know?
Yeah. We will definitely find him, not the other 250 or 249.98. Yeah. So.
Oh, hey, Trey Wingo, how's it going? You want to be on it? We're live podcasting.
Yeah. So. Well, my dad, I think, has told you the story before. I think the 2008 when we were there for the preseason, I think it was because it was Monday Night Football, Aaron Rodgers' first start for the Packers against the Cincinnati Bengals. I went to Stadium View back when it was an actual bar, not a fucking nightclub thing that it is now. So we go there, you know, I'm 15, 16 years old, there with a family, and I look over and Tony Kornheiser and it's weird that I know his name and I can't remember the other. Who's the... Mike Tirico were there because they were the Monday Night Football crew at the time, and they're at the table next to us. And I would always watch PTI as a kid.
Oh, sure.
So after they were done, I went up to Tony Kornheiser because I didn't know much about Mike Tirico at the time, and I was like,
sure.
"Hey, can I get a picture with you or whatever? I watch your show." And my dad's like, "He watches your show every day after school," and he was like joking about it, like laughing. And Tony Kornheiser, without like hesitating, was like, "You're wasting your life." But either way, yes, those things
that
do
moments
happen,
like that at the draft, at the Blizzard draft,
the 2025 NFL Lambeau Blizzard draft.
Yes, I'm excited for it. I can't wait to go there.
You know what? Now that you say it, too, the Rush Center there. You know the name of the arena football team is in Green Bay?
Oh, I have no idea.
The Blizzard.
Oh, of course.
So they're right there. They're part of the...
That's where they'll hold the draft.
Part of it. Mark Murphy did mention it. The first time I've heard this term, the Lambeau Field Campus is what he said. And they include the Rush Center. And there are quite a few buildings there.
Okay.
Just going to the couple games last year, it's crazy how much that area has been built up over the last few years.
Interesting.
Yeah. But shoot, that, you know what, for being mid-offseason and having to talk about Rodgers a bit, I thought that was a pretty solid pod. I mean, God, we're over an hour and 15 minutes. Usually, even when we have a game, we don't have this much to talk about.
Yeah, there was a lot to talk about, obviously, with Rodgers being, I mean, that was probably a good chunk of it. But I don't know, there's some fun stuff. I think a lot of people are probably excited for the season coming up. Obviously, there's a lot of question marks, a lot of young guys, but
we're like 98 days away.
We talked about this before, maybe, but I think it's like my expectations with Rodgers were always really high, so it's more of like it's like less exciting but more of a relief when we win. Mm-hmm. Where now it's like interesting to be on the other side.
Yeah.
It's maybe more like freeing to not have the expectations, because like if I had high expectations,
yeah,
we would probably be really disappointed. And
well, I mean, that's being, what it's been the last couple of years, I guess. It's just because I've heard other fans say that too. And I'm like, you know, I kind of like thinking we're going to win the Super Bowl going into every year. You know,
I'm coming off as seeming like, oh, it's what's fun to have this quaint team now.
Ooh, that, we're so young. Look at them. They're drinking
doesn't
together.
Have a good quarterback. I like it more. I don't know. But I think it's, I don't know. I am excited. Maybe it's because I was not excited for a while, and now I'm like, okay, I'm ready to be excited to watch and just see what happens.
Yes,
like it is what it is. I've just accepted in my head. Maybe I've just accepted we're gonna suck next year, and that's what it is. And it's just like, well,
I want to like put up a graphic. It's just like Todd's thoughts on the upcoming season. It is what it is.
That's like, it's like the stages of like of grief or whatever. I'm like, whatever.
It is what
whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And we'll see where we come out on the other side. It'll be interesting.
Yes, I agree. I'm looking forward to training camp and the training camp tweets and seeing who else is looking great in shorts, who Andy Herman builds up as. I still, and I'm not a huge Andy Herman fan. He seems like a nice guy, you know, does great work, blah, blah, blah. He was building up Kylan Hill. I know we cut him because he was a knucklehead, but as a rookie in practice, Andy Herman was like, Matt LaFleur is going to have to find plays or ways to get Kylan Hill on the field. I'm like, dude, have you watched this team? It takes a while for players to get on the field, but yeah, Kylan Hill in shorts. Yeah, that's the reason. And now he's still a free agent right now. So whatever.
Okay, I figured it out. This is what we're going to do to host the draft. All the houses around the stadium, they'll just take in a couple people for the weekend.
I've thought, well, that's definitely going to be a thing. I know Florio is going to have hit
pieces
Airbnb out about it being
a room. They're going to be like, you could come stay in Billy's room, he'll sleep in our bedroom.
There will be stories from media guys telling us about their quaint, as you said earlier, you know, staying in a one-story house before the draft and all this shit, and talking with the schlubs who are putting signs in their front yard for parking and all that. So
I have actually, the more we talk about it, the more excited I am for the draft. I don't know. I think we're selling. I think you're getting more excited too. You just don't realize it yet.
It'll be very cool. I think it'll be very cool until it's like, oh, it's just someone saying names. You know?
I think we'll be there. I think you'll be there too. I think you think you won't be there now.
I don't know. We'll see.
There's a lot of time.
That's true.
Maybe it'll be 2 years. Maybe it'll be all we have to look forward to.
God, that's something so other people have brought up too. Like, what if that? Like, we're looking for a quarterback for that draft or something.
I don't know. It's back-to-back years of less than 5 wins, and now we're looking for a quarterback.
It would be crazy. This is so dumb. But if you like just showed Vince Lombardi or like Curly Lambeau, like us, the Packers drafting the future quarterback in a gigantic monstrosity of a stage inside Lambeau Field with Titletown and all the cameras and people to be like, what the fuck is this? What is the society? What is human society now? Yeah, but. That's probably a little too, I don't know,
funny.
Looking from the 1,000-foot point of view. But yep, that's it. If you like the podcast, blah, blah, leave a 5-star rating. Leave a review. I haven't done this in a while. Leave a review on Apple or Spotify now. 5 stars, hopefully 5 stars. It was 5 stars, right? If you leave a review, take a screenshot, email us at pmppodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter @PMPpod, and we will send you a free koozie with the logo on it. And plus, you know, be cool, leave us a review.
Is this a no-no? What about the jersey?
Oh yeah, I
bring that up?
It's gone. It is dead and gone. Yes, like Big Dog, unfortunately.
Somebody
yes.
has it, or yes, it's just got you burned it.
Somebody has it.
Okay. Whew, okay.
The signed Big Dog jersey. With that, I don't have anything else. Todd, do you have anything else?
I don't have anything else.
Well, with that, Eric Koskinen, please don't sue us. Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah. It just won't pay. cigarettes. Yeah. Well,
the sledding hill and the skating rink. That's cool.
Right. Well, I mean, it's April. It should be fine, but it's...
It's going to be cold.
Yes, it'll be cold. But I wonder, I mean, they have moved the date around. I wonder if they will push it back a little further to that year just to make sure.
Do that.
Or give themselves
a little bit. A couple more weeks.
Yeah. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Okay, I think that's working fine. We're recording over here. I need to make a new fucking intro, too.
You do.
Fucking Big Dog and Roger.
You gotta put the one where the fan is yelling at Mark Murphy until it takes saying he's gonna
Ted
take
Thompson,
us to
Ted Thompson.
Sorry, Ted Thompson, where he's like, he's gonna Rogers. Take us to the toilet bowl, and Aaron Rodgers is gonna take, or and Brett Favre is gonna take it to the Super Bowl.
It's just so.
The part where he's like, I'm not gonna talk about that.
Like, that clip really is art, because when the guy's like doing this with his hands, and he's like, Super Bowl or the toilet bowl, and he thinks it's like such a profound statement, like Ted had never thought of this before, and then it's like Ted just not knowing really how to react, and he's like, yeah man, and then there's like the one woman reporter in the background who's just watching, and she's like chewing her gum, smacking.
Oh, I'm not, I don't know that I've
watched
even
it so many
that.
Times now, it's like the little things like that.
I love that Ted is just like, he's like, I'm not gonna talk about this, I'm not gonna answer you. He's like, yeah, I don't have a response. See you later. Like, I just love that, like, that Ted soundbite of, like, yeah, I'm not gonna respond to that. And then I miss Ted.
He's like, yeah, we're gonna talk about it. Yeah, it's a bummer that he fucking died.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.